For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Pray that is what would happen. So use your servants up here, and God, may the ground of our heart be prepared to receive the seed that you will sow in us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We're going to pick up with verse 26. And it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. The angel was sent. Now, if you remember our sermon we've been working on Sundays, I think it was a week or two ago, we talked about the fact that we will judge angels. But that word judged in the Greek, krino, really means rule over angels. And I gave you the illustration that in the millennial kingdom, we will actually be governing with God. And angels are what? Ministers for the heirs of salvation. So I know it does not seem normal now, but it'll seem quite normal then. So say in the kingdom of God, I'm ruling over a certain part. I'm governing with God. I can say, I need 10 angels here. Would you angels go this direction? And you other 20 angels, you stay put, and I need 5 angels to come with me. It says that we'll be judging angels. We'll be governing angels. We're being trained right now. We've talked a lot about that. Now, as the body of Christ right now, what is our position with angels? In Matthew, the centurion, Jesus commended him for his faith because he says, man, my servant is at home sick and, I need him to be healed. And Jesus says, okay, so you don't need to come. And I believe this is concerning angels. He said, I have men under me and I send them here and there and they go here and there. And I understand. And Jesus, oh my gosh, you understand the kingdom. So anyway, I want to bring that point out that angel was sent. And angels play a huge role in those people that are walking in the Spirit. What do you think? I think they play a big role. I believe in angels today.
A big role. I don't know why more people don't talk about it. A lot of times we see angels relegated to like Hallmark cards or like women's jewelry. But like, we live in a spiritual world. And I don't know
why. Could an angel be in here tonight?
I don't know. Let me see.
Hey, it says we've entertained him and not even been aware.
Yeah.
Not even been aware.
Yeah. Somebody's pointing to his wife.
Yeah. Smart man. You have any more with 26?
No.
27?
No, I agree.
It says, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, I do have something to say here, and we talked about earlier. I wished I had time, and maybe I'll have to do it Sunday. This engagement period for the Jewish person was really crazy. If you really look at it, Matthew, the gospel was written to the Jews. And the Jews had a betrothal period. It was about a year before you got married. But in the betrothal period, you were already married. You could not be immoral in that betrothal period, or you'd have to have a divorce. And so, if I had time to talk to the Shidduchim, the Ketubah, all this stuff, these 5 stages of a betrothal period. And maybe we can do it Sunday. It's crazy. I mean, like the first stage of betrothal period, the groom's father had to go choose a wife for the groom. You take that in the gospel. We are chosen to be the bride of Jesus. God chooses us. The second stage, the ketubah, it's a contract. The groom says, I promise to support you. Jesus has given us all these promises in the Word. So we're chosen, we get all these promises in the Word, we go, whoa, I want to live that life. The third stage is where the groom's father gives the bride a dowry, a gift. He gives her dad camels and goats and whatever.
Kind of like today.
Like today. Yeah, we got some 10 goat women in this room, I'm telling you. We got some 20 goat women in this room. There's no one goat woman in this room.
Nah.
But he gives them a dowry, and then we read in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is what we're sealed with in our pledge. He gives us a spirit. And in the fourth one, it's a ritual immersion. That's baptism. Mm-hmm. That's they do a ritual immersion. And in the fifth stage, the groom leaves, and the bride works on her garment. He goes away to build a house. If you've been to Israel, their houses all have rooms built onto them. When their kids get married, they don't leave. They usually just live with mom and dad. They just build on the house. And it says right now, Jesus has gone away to build a house for us. And what are we to do? It says the bride during that time, during the engagement period, she worked on her wedding dress, getting it all made. What are we doing right now? Getting our wedding dress clean, because the Bible says he's coming back after a bride without spot or wrinkle. And some people aren't getting their dress clean. They're not getting it ready. Oh, I got so much to say. I mean, the Bible says there's a multitude that doesn't make the rapture, and the angels, where they come from, so they had to get their clothes, their dress clean. There are people that are never going to wake up to Christ until the rapture, and they're going to go, whoa, and they're going to start getting it clean. And of course, the next one was the culmination, the consummation of the marriage. And that, so man, I mean, this engagement period was crazy.
This is crazy that you read like half a phrase, the virgin engaged to a man, and you could literally preach the rest of the night on that.
I could preach, I got notes.
But those
this
six
was a brand
phases.
New Bible today.
If you guys ever get a chance to go through Pastor Ron's Bible,
yeah, if you get a close up, I can get a close up or not, but that was a brand new Bible today. But
that's awesome that we can break it down, and then we see those six phases of the engagement process. Yeah. Shows us the work of the Holy Spirit and God in our lives, but also it shows that they were serious about it. So when Joseph is engaged to Mary, and then he knows she's going to wind up pregnant and not by him, this could be big trouble.
Well, I talked about a few weeks ago. I mean, there's no doubt that Mary was called a tramp by some people, and Joseph was called a naive fool. But you know, going back to the other thing that's really crazy is if Matthew is written to the Jews, that's the only chapter in the Gospels that gives any right of divorce. Okay? Only that chapter. The other ones don't. And that was because of the betrothal period. You could divorce in the betrothal period. But then the Apostle Paul came along and said, I know there's no real rules for divorce. So he says, I say, God didn't say, I say, that for a spirit of whoredom and desertion, you can divorce. And he went out with apostolic authority. And I'm not so sure God doesn't give us wisdom in the spirit today, because people say, well, there's only two reasons for divorce, you know, a spirit of whoredom and desertion. What about when a guy's beaten his wife to a bloody pulp? I think that's where apostolic authority comes in. Anyway, I could get carried off in so many ways, but let's get back to Christmas story. 27, he's engaged. That was crazy. And she was found to be pregnant. We'll get further ahead though, huh? 28, and coming in, he said to her, hail favored one, the Lord is with you.
So the word favored just jumped out at me. And to have somebody say you're favored, or have somebody say something awesome about you, it always makes your day, right? Are you guys like me that somebody says something nice about you, like, I'm good for the next month, right? Just one phrase, right? And you know, I can deal with the other negative noise in my life. But the word favor here is the word charis, where we get our word for charity or charismatic. And so it's a great thing. Favor. And I think I've said this before, but some people say, you know, I'd rather be lucky than good. Well, you know, even on top of that, I'd rather have the favor of God than being good or being lucky, right? Favor of God is an amazing thing to have. And I pray that on my kids, I pray that on my friends. But think about this, we all want favor, right? Because if we have favor of God, we got it all, right? I mean, we have it all, if you think about it. We have everything we need, and we do have favor. And in the story, we see Mary had favor, because the angel said, favored one of God. But I think, Pastor, I think all of us are favored by God.
I agree.
And I don't mean that in a generic sense.
I agree.
I mean that in a sense of that God loves you so much. You're a big deal. We talk about the Christmas, you know, being the birth of Christ, and it is. That's a big deal. It's awesome. But you know what? You're a big deal. And I'm talking to a couple ladies in here that are kind of doubting your self-worth. Sweetheart, you're a big deal. Your birth is a big deal.
I woke up thinking of this morning. So many of us, we don't know that God has saved us to bless us. He wants for each and every one of you to be like Job. Remember when Satan came from the earth, he's patrolling the earth, and God said, just see my son Job? Psh. Yeah, he's really right on, huh? You saw God almost boasting. there's a word tonight, two words. Number one is put yourself in a position because God really wants to bless you. And number two, someone needs to hear this. God is on your side. He's not against you.
Amen.
He's on your side. So many Christians are always thinking, you know, it's like, I saw a little boy in the mall a while back. It's really funny. His mama got mad at him and she's trying to hit him and he had learned, man, he was, I was like Muhammad Ali, man. She could not get him. She was walking and you could tell this happened before. This wasn't the first time this happened. Okay. And, that's the way some of us are with God. You're always waiting for the shoe to drop. I know he's mad at me. He's mad at me. Oh, I know I shouldn't have done that. And I know this is redundant. You ought to hear God going right on to you. Every day you ought to hear that. He's on your side. He's not against you. He's rooting for you. Go, go, go. And a lot of Christians don't see that.
Well, I think it's interesting that the angel says, you are favored of God. It was almost like a nickname. You're favored. And it was an action, but it was a little bit of a nickname. And when he said, you are favored, I think it kind of shocked her. Like, oh, she might be going through some of the things saying that we do. Like, really? Am I really favored? I'm telling you, we don't need to get too far away from here that you guys need to know that you are favored. In fact, humor me here. We're going to say this together. I am favored. Can we do that? One, two, three.
I am favored.
I heard somebody shout it. That's good. Maybe we need to do it again, and you need to shout it out. I mean, if you want to shout, that's fine. We're not doing, have to be all like loud and crazy, but like, you really need to know this. We are crazy, right? We're just going to be loud. One, two, three.
I am favored. Little off beat there, but that was good. You know the word beloved? You know one of the meanings of that word is loved in spite of what you do? Loved in spite of what you do. We're God's kids. And my kids can do anything. They're still my kids. Another word I got from somebody, rhema. You haven't done too much that God can't forgive you. That's for somebody here tonight. You might have murdered somebody. You might have done terrible things. You have not done more than what God can forgive you for. Where are we at?
We're at 28. If you don't mind me doing this.
Okay.
28 goes into 29. And I have this way, like if I don't like picture things in my mind sometimes. I just kind of read over them. And is anybody like that? You're kind of, oh, yeah, I saw this, blah, 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 whatever. So 28, the angel gives her a greeting, eight words. And coming into her, he said, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Okay? Eight words, joy, favor. Then I think Mary kind of has her mouth open like this, kind of like, right? I'm picturing this, right? I mean, she was flesh and blood. She's like us, right? She's going, why am I favored? Why is this big old giant glowing angel? You know, I don't know what the angel looked like, right? He was probably like buff and intimidating and awesome because both her and Zechariah had to be going, don't fear. The angel said, it's all right. It's good. But I think Mary was just kind of like in shock and awe, like just kind of going, an angel? Okay, that's kind of freaking me out. I'm favored. That's freaking me out. I'm favored by God. That's kind of weird. I mean, out of all the, you know, thousands of girls in the area right now, why am I being chosen? And here's where it goes into the next verse. And he says, but she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation it was. You know those seconds that seemed like an eternity? And she was just kind of going, I really think it was the deer in the headlights. Anybody ever get that after a something that hits you out of the blue? Like, how could I be favored of God? And here's something interesting to note is that our gut reactions, our knee-jerk reactions, kind of show who we really are, right? When the angel said, Mary, you're favored of God, I think Mary was like, right? Has anybody asked you, who is Jesus to you? Right? And then after we walk with Christ for a few more years, who is Jesus to you? Well, I'll tell you what, he's the Son of God. You need to meet him today, right? The guttural reactions that come out of us. And so if you want to check your spiritual maturity, check what your guttural reactions are. You know, when you hit your nail on a picture up on the living room wall, you know, and you hit your thumb with a hammer, right? You're just like me, right? Thank the Lord, right? That happens. So then it goes right into 29 because the angel had to say it again. And here's why I think Mary was just kind of like, just in awe, pondering. She was perplexed. She was confused. She's like, what's going on?
I'll read 30 again. Yeah, because it said it twice. 30.
Yes, and verse 30 says, the angel said to her, do not be afraid. You have found favor. There's our word again. You have found favor with God. you guys have found favor with God. And even more than that, God has found favor on you even before you deserved it, even before you knew God, even before you walked in the room, even before you were born. Ephesians says, before the foundations of the earth were formed, he chose you. That's favor. Before the foundations of the earth. I'm telling you, God is talking to you guys tonight that you need to know that you are loved, you are favored, you are special, and you got it going on. Because if you get that, you can do a lot of other things.
You know, so often I ask people, I say, describe for me your God. And sometimes I go, I don't know that God. Never met that one. It's got to be the God of the Bible. Now, changing subjects here a little bit, if we go back to the other verse there, it says, Mary kept pondering. Let me show you two other verses. There's something about Mary here. We might find out why the Lord, God chose her. But look at chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. And it says that, but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. In 2 and 19, the shepherds had just come. And they said, man, we were out there, and this choir showed up. And she's, what's she doing? She treasured all these things in her heart. Look at 2, 48 through 51. And when they saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? What happened is they went to Jerusalem. This is when Jesus is a little older now. And they forget about him. They leave him in Jerusalem. They get halfway home and they go, where's Jesus? He wasn't with them. He was a little boy. And so when they saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it you're looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued to subject them. And his mother, she treasured all these things in her heart. You know, maybe this is a reason God chose her. She pondered. She treasured. Mary was always where she was at. She was there. Wherever she was at, she was there. Pondering. Tucking things away in her heart. Now, I'm going to tell you maybe Sunday. I don't know where I'm going Sunday. But she needed to pull all these things back out when she saw her son hanging on a cross. Let me tell you, if there's something bad in your future, God will prepare you for it now. He always will. When the going gets rough, he wants you to have something to look back on. And when she saw her son hanging on a cross, that was her baby. I said, Mary's the only one that ever carried her baby twice.
Wow.
She carried him once in pregnancy, and then when the Holy Spirit came into her in Acts 2, she carried him twice. Had him twice inside of her. That had to be a crazy thing. Her son that she gave birth to, she saw die on a cross later on, she goes, Jesus, come and live inside of me. Can't even comprehend it. Where are we at?
Right around 31 here.
Okay. You want to read it?
I will. And behold, you will be conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus.
What do you want to say about that?
Golly, what can we say about that? A lot, right? Jesus. I'll just take the rest of the time if that's all right. No.
Name him Jesus. Well, why can't we hear God tell us what to name our kids? I know God told me to name my son Joshua. I came up with Tara, beautiful name. I don't know. Name him Jesus. That word, that, see, if you're pregnant tonight, put some thought into the name you're naming your child. And it was so neat. Later on, you can bless those kids over and over again. Said, I named you the blessed of God. I named you a child of grace. That's what your name means. That'd be so cool.
We purposely named both of our kids. I can't say that God spoke to us and said, name them this, but we prayed and we sought and we went through all the baby lists in the whole world. And we named our daughter Sophia and we named our son Sage. They both mean wisdom. And we thought, what a great legacy, you know, to leave your kids is that they're wisdom and that they want to be wise. And then, of course, when they're the opposite of their name, we remind them of what their name means.
I got the privilege of helping Tara and Jim with their boy. I told Tara Josiah was one of the best kings around. And it's just kind of like an anointed name, Josiah. you know. And so his name was Jesus. They called him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God. Wonderful Counselor.
Wonderful Counselor. And if we have the slide for Isaiah 9, that comes to mind a lot of times in Christmas season. And, you know, we sing the song, and or you guys have heard that. But I thought, we could really spend the rest of the time talking about the names of Jesus. But I want to concentrate on these because I think Isaiah is a prophetic passage in talking about this time when Christ is born. But I want to ask you guys, if you need Jesus, obviously Pastor Ron said, you know, Jesus means Emmanuel, God with us. So we all need that. But I want to read this verse. And if you guys just let me read it to you, there's going to be several names of God that's mentioned. And if you need that tonight, if you need God specifically in one of these names or maybe another one, we're just going to let you grab a hold of it. So I don't know. You don't necessarily have to physically reach out and grab it. But as I'm reading this, if something strikes out in your heart, then grab it and grab you some of this. All right. For unto us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. If you needed that, grab it. I need that last one, the Prince of Peace.
And some of these people never had a father. Eternal Father. You have a father. A Father in heaven who loves you very much.
That's right. God's really pouring out the love tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we have some people that need to hear this. I hope you're hearing. He's speaking loud and clear.
32. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. You know, I just thinking, this is crazy. Mary looks at a little baby and goes, and what does she think when she was changing dirty diapers? This is the Son of God. That's God poop. You know, I got a word for somebody. Don't let the poop get your eyes off the blessing.
It's good.
Don't let the poop get your eyes off the blessing. I mean, Jesus, he dirtied his diapers. He cried and woke him up at night. I mean, I can't even fathom this. That's the Son of God. That's why Jesus called himself the Son of God. Another place called him Son of Man. Because he was the Son of Man and the Son of God. God was his father and man was, you know, Mary was his mother. I can't even, can you imagine?
No. Mary had to have her doubts, wouldn't you think? Like, why would God do this? Seriously. Yeah. I mean, she knew this was God, but at the same time, she had to ask herself, why is God, why did he become a baby? Why didn't he just become a, he didn't want to become a teenager either, but you know.
How old do you think Mary was?
Well, probably 14, 15.
15. Yep. What did God see in her and said, that's the one that's going to be the mother of my child? I mean, that's nuts. And I wonder if she, I'm starting to think out loud again. I'm going to get in trouble like last week. Did she know when she got pregnant? It's a crazy thought. I mean, does she know this is the moment? I mean, it was like levitating on your bed and going, whoa, man, God just touched me. You know, I don't know. I mean, when did she know? I don't know. I'm just thinking too deep.
Well, let me talk to
you. I slept on the couch last week, so I'm going to stop. Not really. I just went in the back room and I told my wife, am I in trouble? She says, don't even talk to me right now. But she was cool. She was really cool with it.
My heart goes out to teenagers, man, because I think there's warfare made over teenagers, man. And I wonder how many teenagers are out there that are going, Mary was like 15, man, that's my age, or I'm close to that age. And like you said, why did God choose her? But there had to be something. And I want to tell teenagers, and I really feel that there's some teenagers in the internet audience, man, you know what? God sees something in you, and he has chosen you for greatness too. Jesus has already been born, but you know what? You can still achieve greatness. Don't wait till later. God wants to use you now.
Well, the apostles, we think probably the oldest they could have been 17, 18 when he chose them. Because when he went to get the fish for tax money, him and Peter were the only two old enough to pay taxes. They were teenagers. Jesus chose teenagers as apostles. God chose a teenager. That ought to give you teenagers a lot of a lot of hope, man. He chose them as youngsters. And he said, man, I want to get some people I don't have to unlearn. I want to teach them myself. And he took youngsters. And so Paul's told Timothy, don't let anybody look down upon your youth. Be examples.
Hey, and parents of teenagers, that's a tough, tough job. Are you with me? That's a tough one. But I'm going to tell you what, don't give up hope. A lot of times we're told that, you know, like, just get your kid through, like, you know, third, fourth grade when they're cute. And then when they get to that not cute stage, you know, where they get like pimples and grease and you know what I'm talking about? Then it's easy to go, oh, they're kind of raised. Let me tell you what, raising a teenager is tough stuff, man. It's tough business. Don't neglect them. Don't think they can do it on their own. I mean, they're, you know, teenager is like, you know, not quite adult, but not all kid. And so, parents, I'm just going to tell you this. Be tenacious with your teen. Pray for them. You don't have to confront every single little thing that they're going through because the offenses are many. But love, love, love them and be tenacious.
You know, Jesus had to be normal. A normal teenager, because his brothers didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in him. They teased him, said, why don't you go do this? Why don't you go do that? Come on, you're the Son of God, you know that. But then later, they got saved and they were, one of his brothers was a ruler of the church. They all got born again, which really shows you the validity of Jesus, because the ones who, so he had to be pretty normal in teen years.
True.
Because they didn't believe who he was. Hey, why don't you go out and do this right now? Come on, you're the Son of God. Come on, go do it. But then later, they're all born again and they're serving.
Well, you know, again, back to parents of teenagers, there's not a lot mentioned. Once Jesus was in the temple, the verses you used earlier, until he began his public ministry, there's no record of Jesus' teenage years. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means,
but. Well, we know the brother of Jesus, James. I mean, I'm not saying all of his brothers, I don't know, but we know one of his brothers or two, they believed in him.
Yeah.
So let's go on with verse number 33. It says, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. That might bother you because it says he's reign over the house of Jacob. But see, she didn't know about Gentiles at this time, that they'd be saved. He tells her what she needs to know. And for you that have been in the sermon that I've been teaching, the word reign there, he will reign over the house, is a synonym. The word reign is synonym for krino, we will judge angels. So that's where I get the reigning over angels. It's a synonym, the same Greek synonym right here. So that kind of tells you something there if you've been in our teachings. Verse 34, and Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? How can this be? Can I say something to you? Don't ask God how, explain to me. Just take the steps he's telling you to take and don't worry about the rest. Somebody tonight, you're trying to figure out how, why, don't do it. Just do what God's telling you to do today. That's all you have. Leave the rest to him. I've had so many things that started out with, I didn't understand at all. I just did what he told me to do today and had no understanding. And that thing today led to something else. That led to something else. And pretty soon I, whoa, this is crazy good. But I got a word for you. Stop trying to figure God out and just obey him.
Good.
Anything you want to say on that verse? How, you know?
Well, I'm reminded of the verse in 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel, I think, to obey is better than sacrifice. Just obey, right? Mm-hmm. Don't have to worry about getting it right or getting it perfect or doing all this crazy stuff. Just do it.
Yeah. How can this be? I'm a virgin. And then verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. The holy offspring.
Well, I love it. And we were talking a little bit, and I think maybe some people have heard this before, but like Mary knew that it was God. I mean, she had to have an angel convince her that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. But what about the other people in the village? They're like, oh yeah, there's that Mary. She says she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Sure, you know. But she knew, and we know, but like, man, the day-to-day, you know, we just read it and we kind of, you know, filed away and like, oh yeah, of course it was God. Well, not everybody thought that. God marked her in a way that other people didn't understand. And you know, she was favored. But even though she was favored, she did have to endure some tough times. And even though God has made it abundantly clear that you are favored tonight, doesn't mean that life is gonna be like perfect. You will still be marked. You will still be misunderstood. People may still not get you or even make fun of you or be hostile to you because you're a Christian, because you're carrying Christ inside of you. But you know what? That's all right. It doesn't matter. Because once you hear a word from God, favored one, you should be able to take on the world.
Yep. Yep. You know what? It says, and I think it's Peter, all who choose to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All who choose to live godly. Now, you know what they're thinking? The headquarters for the Roman brigade in that area was only 4 miles to the northwest of where Mary lived. They were thinking, yeah, she's been fooling around with a Roman soldier. That's what she's been doing. You know they did. That's the first thing they thought of. Those Romans were all over, and they were good-looking young guys, and they probably thought, yeah. So I've always said, if you want to really walk with God, you better pray for the skin of an alligator, because you will be persecuted. Yeah. You will be misunderstood. All those who choose to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Those who do not choose to live godly might avoid persecution, but those who choose to live godly will be persecuted.
And I love what you say about trials. Squeeze a blessing out of it.
Squeeze a blessing out of it. Well, what Jacob said, he was in that trial and he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And it says later on that he was weeping and saying, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you. That's for someone here tonight. You're in a trial. You need to say, you know what, to that trial, you need to start speaking out loud to it and say, I will not let go until you bless me. I'm going to get a blessing out of this trial. I've often said, when life hands you a lemon, make orange juice out of it and let everybody guess how you did it.
I'm going to write that one down.
Where are we at?
36.
And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
God will never, ever deny your confirmation to something you think he's saying. That's the way I operate. Sometimes you don't know if something's God. If this is of you, God, you will confirm it. You will confirm it, because every fact's confirmed by two or three witnesses, you know. And I'm telling you, you'll confirm it. And God has always gracious, did it for Gideon, all through the Bible. He confirmed things. That's the way he's here. You want to know this is me? Go check out Elizabeth.
She's 88 years old, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
But that's all we have to say about that.
Yeah, we want to stop there. Yeah. Go check her out. He said, and you'll find she's in her sixth month. And Mary couldn't wait. She was out the door, man. And when she found she was 6 months pregnant, oh, you know, this is God. But God gave her a confirmation. He said, you got to know this is me. And God's not ashamed to give you confirmations. People talk all the time, well, I don't know if it's God or not. Asking for a confirmation. If you get it, it's God. And if you don't, then it probably wasn't.
You know, and it's a good thing Mary had some godly relatives, you know, people around her that could confirm things, because God can confirm anyhow he wants to, any way he wants to, any way he wants to confirm. But I think it's easier when you got godly people that you're doing life with, you know, your small group people, you know, people that are in church, because that's where you're going to get a good confirmation from. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, again, God can confirm any way, but I just find myself, when I need a confirmation from God, I'm going to call Pastor Ron, or I'm going to call one of my other buddies that I know is hearing from God. And he can still talk to a donkey, you know, but
you know,
I'd rather talk to Pastor Ron.
When UCLA told me that I had 4 years to live, and they made it very dogmatic, first thing I did was call Vicki Lohman. And I said, Vicki, they say I'm going to die. You can hear God. She called me back a day and a half later. She says, every time I go to pray for you, I start laughing. Just get a spirit of laughter, and God says, he ain't going nowhere. And that was my first confirmations. I wanted somebody that I really knew could hear God, and I knew she could. And she said, I just laugh every time I go in God's presence. You're okay. And that is true, to have that person who really has the Holy Spirit that you can get that confirmation from. And the verse 37 says, for nothing, nothing will be impossible with God.
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What do they need here tonight? Nothing's impossible with God. But you know what the problem is? A lot of people don't know that God. They don't know that God. They shortchanged him. Let it be to you according to your faith, Jesus said more than one occasion. I believe nothing's impossible with God. Let it be to you according to your faith.
Well, another way I would say it is, do you really mean that? Yeah, nothing is impossible for God. Do you really mean that? Yeah, nothing is impossible. Well, go live it. Go find your answer. Go find that God that you need. Right? Because we know that he can supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory.
You know, Again, going back to the leukemia story, the Bakersfield, California did an article on me. I wish I could pull it up. It was front page on the local or whatever. And it says, pastor says he's going to prove to God, prove to Bakersfield God's real. Or something like that. That's what the article said. Pastor's going to prove that God is real to Bakersfield. Because I told him that. I said, they said, I'm going to die. I'm going to prove to God, prove to Bakersfield, God is real. And what are people here? I bet they have a smorgasbord of needs. And some of them have given up. Here's the deal. What did I say? And I know it's redundant. Several things are like words for the year. When you walk by faith, you will do things that you would not ordinarily do to get things that you would not ordinarily get. And if all things are possible with God, if you really believe that, you might do the things you would not normally do, and then you'll get things you would not normally get. But if you do not believe that all things are possible with God, you won't do the things that are necessary to get the things you need to get. Does that make sense?
Totally.
That makes sense.
Yes. So in other words, get after it. If you're missing something, go find it.
We got about 8 minutes, but 38, and Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your rhema. And the angel departed from her. That's rhema, doulos. That's an earring in the ear. You know, and we all got to get to this. Doulos is someone who has resolved to become a slave of Jesus. They have chosen to become a slave. And in the olden days, we all know that they would, if you were with a slave master and you had your year of redemption, he says, you can go free, get your stuff and go. And you went to that slave master. Say he was my slave master, and I go, Rod, I don't want to leave you. You give me a nicer home than I can buy in the world. You give my family better insurance than I get in the world. You treat me so, I don't want to leave. Then you'd take me to a door and you'd put a hole in my ear and you'd put the slave of Rod. And I'd wear that the rest of my life, the slave of Rod. And that's the idea here, doulos. We've come to a point where we say, I couldn't get anything better anywhere else. Jesus being my Lord is the best thing in the world. So now I'm a slave, a doulos. I'm a slave of Jesus for the rest of my life, a willing slave. And then again, we don't see that either. I'm a slave. I get in the morning, what is your will, Master? See, some areas of Christianity, we've turned it around. If an alien came to the world and heard us say, Lord God, bless me today. Lord, give me a better job. Lord, give me a prettier wife. Lord, give me this. They'd say, oh, I got it. You're the master. He's the slave, right? I get it. I get it. No, I'm the slave. He's the master. I go every day, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And every day I pray, Lord, I'm taking care of your kids. And believe me, they're screwed up, Lord. I'm taking care of them. Now you take care of this screwed up guy, okay? And I'm telling you, every day I go, God, I'm doing your stuff. Now you take care of my stuff. And he does. Crazy. Matthew 6:33.
Yeah, seek him first.
Yeah.
Well, you know, back to the doulos comment, I totally agree, and the bondservant, and we covered that in length on December 4th. So if you need a review, they can go back and find that in the archive. But also, so Mary was the first one in Scripture to call herself the bondservant of the Lord. So she does that. But then if you read the beginning of the epistles, Paul says that, James says that, Peter says that. I may have even spoken, but I think there was like five or six, almost all of the writers of the New Testament mimicked her, not just her words of saying, I'm a bondservant, but mimicked that title. You know, you talk about, you know, this is what I choose. I choose to be a slave to the Lord, is what Mary says. But the New Testament writers took it a step further and they said, this is my title. This is my title of office. I am a slave all the way by my choosing to Jesus Christ.
We got to come to the place where we say, I will go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. You just tell me, Lord, because I'm your slave. And here's the deal. The slave masters in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they wanted their slaves not to have a lot of worries so they could work hard for them. So they want to take care of their insurance, take care of their kids, everything. And our Lord wants us to bring our problems to Him, cast our cares upon Him because He cares. Why would He have stuff? See, that's why I love the Bible so much. Why would He have a verse in, cast all your cares on me because I care for you? Why would that be in there if He really didn't care for us and would do something about it? But I've told you about the cast your cares. That's a fishing term where you take a net and you throw it out, you'd cast it, and you bring it in and pick a few things out. Oh, God, yeah, yeah. And then you throw it out again. It's a process of casting. And but let's go to two real quickly. We got about 7 minutes. If we can just touch two. The first five verses just simply says, that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus and said everybody had to go to their hometowns for a census. And Joseph was from Bethlehem, which was about 70 or 80 miles away from Nazareth. And now I think that at this time, probably Mary was pregnant. And so they go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And then again, we see on a donkey. There are some historical writings that seem to indicate it was a donkey, but it could have been a camel, could have been in a cart, whatever. And so she goes with him to register. Let's pick up verse 6, Rod, and do it if we can. We got just 4 minutes, but while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, so she had more. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I want to say something. And one of my brothers wrote me the night, but some people get so caught up. Was it an inn? Was it, was it a hotel? Was it a room in a house? Who cares? I'm telling you, when I talked about Migdal Eder again, that's exactly where it was at. He was born out in a manger called the Tower of Migdal in the same place that they raised sacrificial lambs for slaughter. He was in that place. That's where he was born. It talks of it in Genesis. And the shepherds understood, and Mary did too. Later on, when they saw him crucified, they understood that Jesus was born in the same place that the lambs without blemish were born in order to be sacrificed in the temple. This one Migdal Eder, that's all they did there. They were specialists in raising lambs for slaughter, for sacrifice. That's where Jesus was born. They wrapped the lambs with swaddling clothes so they would not have any blemishes on them. They wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes. So when he was crucified, Mary and the shepherds go, oh my gosh, the day he was born to be a sacrifice for the people's sins. It became so plain. So it wasn't an inn, it wasn't a room, it was Migdal Eder.
And Migdal Eder is a location. So it's not about the building, but about the
actual. It's right out in Bethlehem, just a few miles from Jerusalem, and that these professional shepherds raised. I told you, it was 15 years ago, I was in my prayer room, and I was saying, God, I don't understand why was it a manger? Why in a barn? I don't get that. Why would you do that? And God says, go out and look. It was supernatural. I hadn't heard any of their pastors talk about it. And I went out, and I looked this up, and the deeper I looked, I went, oh, my gosh, you answered my prayer. And so it had to be there. It had to be there. Does that make sense to everybody? Had to be there. But people say, well, some people get bored theologically. Well, was it an inn? Was it a bedroom? Was it? And not our guys, but I mean, some people out there, they spend a lot of hours on this. And I'm going, what does it matter? I think we got it. And then one last one, Rod, then we got to quit. But, and in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by day. Here's an angel of the Lord again, suddenly. Stands before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Two or three things there. Was it December 25th? Who came up with that? Constantine. Kind of nailed it down. Why do we know it wasn't December 25th? Because the shepherds were out in the field with their sheep. You didn't have the sheep out in the field during the winter. Okay? I got a ranch. I got cows. I got horses. And you got the pastures between February, March, and probably October. That's the pasture. That's when you have them out. During the winter, they would have been in. And so we don't know what the date was. A lot of people think fall, early fall, October. Some believe spring. Again, does it matter? I don't think. We just take the 25th to celebrate it.
He's the reason for the season, whatever season it's in. I think every day should be Christmas for us.
Yeah, we should celebrate it every day. Anything else you want to say, including March?
I just think, it's kind of an overused phrase, but he is the reason for the season. And, whether Starbucks doesn't put the John 3:16 on their cups this year or whatever, I don't care. And whether, somebody likes a Christmas tree or likes the gift that I give them or wears a tacky sweater, I don't care. Jesus is the reason for that season. Christmas, Easter, 4th of July, my birthday, I don't care. He's the reason for all those seasons.
It is, and I want to encourage you guys. Our giving from October till now has went down $350,000 from last year. And we don't want to stop giving at Christmas time because it's about him. It's about Him. We got a lot of presents we're buying for people. We spent several hundred dollars trying to help people. We got Christmas trees last year. We're trying to do a lot, and we need you to continue to give. So let's don't put all of our energies, our time, our money, everything on ourselves, but let's remember Him during this time. And I want to encourage all of you, if you're not doing anything, come out for Christmas Eve services. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to be together. It's going to be a family. Just don't forget about Jesus, because we're celebrating His birthday. It's His birthday. Let's don't forget about Him and giving our time, our energy. And can I say one other thing too? It might be too late, but I feel so sorry this time of the year. I'll go in the stores and I'll see people, and you can tell they're not well-to-do. And they're putting everything on their credit card. We've let this season get way out of hand, way out of hand. We chose years ago that, except for the grandkids, all the adults, we just exchange names. We do a stocking. We don't really buy anything for adults. We get a stocking, we draw names, and we get the grandkids. They're that special, you know, you get them gifts. But please don't go into debt, and maybe too late. But probably too late.
Still take it back. Maybe it's not real too late. Take them things back, man.
If we can even regroom our kids to say, kids, we're not going to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. We're going to spend a little. We want to buy you a couple things you really like, and we want to have a loving time together at dinner. I just think Christmas has got way, way out of whack, and we got to start bringing it in ourselves, and got to do it.
Hey, Pastor, one other thing. So we just had our Christmas toy giveaway, and we gave away 1,000. Is that right? 1,000 toys,
yeah.
Pastor Al and the team. You guys and all you guys that gave them, amazing. I think we need to celebrate that. To be honest, that was awesome. 1,000 toys. Come on. There you go.
You know, I got onto my staff the other day, and I told my staff, our church doesn't know what we're doing. I don't know if you've seen the video. I told them to do the video, but there the other day, and we had packages everywhere. They're all going to the soldiers. And you guys, sometimes we don't tell you what we're doing. We're doing all this stuff. We're giving to all these places, we're giving to all these places, and we don't even tell you about it. And so we send all kinds of packages to the soldiers that are over in the foreign field. We'll have a video to show you that. Sometimes you don't know what we're doing. And so we
I want to ask, did anybody maybe, like, this is your first time today that was here because of the toy drive? I don't know. I mean, it's possible. Is there anybody that was here the first time? This is just me being curious. I'm trying to look for a hand. I want to find one.
I saw
somebody
one.
Lied.
I saw one.
Somebody lied. Oh,
I
you saw one?
Back
okay,
here.
Good. We got one then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't really mean to lie. I didn't really mean that.
Yeah.
I just wanted one.
Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you're not a prophet. That was your test. You
Some
passed
people call
it.
Me pathetic. I've never been called prophetic, but pathetic fits.
Father God, Lord, a lot of words went out tonight, but I think one of the main things I heard is that God wants to bless us because He loves us. I think God's saying to some people tonight, please, please stop sinning so I can bless you. Please stop living the life you're living, because I want to bless you. I love you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Good as I came.